So we had college football start already. Not that Scott Frost was paying attention. We've got ASU on Thursday in a race to see who gets fired first between Herm Edwards and Scott Frost. And the White Sox just got swept by our Arizona Diamondbacks. Oh, and I've got news. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. You have found the only podcast in the world totally devoted to coverage of the four major sports teams of one specific great American city, plus UFL championship soccer and the IFL, the WNBA, ASU, U of A, and GCU. Not good. How was your weekend? Mine was pretty good. I played terrible golf on Friday, so I'm a little bitter about that. But other than that, it was a heavy work weekend. Heavy, heavy work weekend. Getting ready for football, getting some final touches, put on some things. So a lot of things still left to do to get excited about football. But I think we're going to have a great week, especially for those of you that are ASU fans, people like Burrito Express, huge ASU sponsors. I'm hoping to have Jeff Van Rapphorst on the show this week, Rose Bowl winning quarterback for Arizona State, and a kind of an exclusive in the entire city of Phoenix, going to take on NAU. So let's talk to the NAU head coach. So we should have Chris Ball on the show this week to learn a little bit about NAU, so you'll know what you're looking at if you're an ASU fan. Plus, I don't know how I'm going to announce this to you. I'm kind of sitting on a pretty huge announcement. The catch is, one of us thinks it's official and one of us doesn't. I have a new partnership separate from Unplugged to announce, but I haven't signed anything yet. But I think he did. But I'll just give you a little hint, because you are the Unplugged Army. You deserve knowledge before anybody else. But as the Unplugged Army podcast empire grows, I'll just throw out a little hint. 48 state football. What do you think of that? I came up with that on my own. 48 state football. Now, in order to make this the football-only podcast work, you're going to need a deeply embedded insider. So who could I get as a co-host that's a deeply embedded insider that you would approve of? There you go. So there's the hint for the announcement that I'm not willing to make because I haven't signed anything, but I think he did. Okay, so there's that. That's not all I got going on. I should be receiving a phone call today, and there might be a little bit of action Sunday nights on TV. How about that to promote the Unplugged Army? So we're all in on that. I can't believe this is all going on. I'm still not done. Today marks the first day of our Versus Vegas sponsorship. KingCappers.com is sponsoring Doug Franz Unplugged. They are a handicapping service. They're not a sports book. So you don't go to KingCappers.com and say, you know what? I'm interested in placing a wager with you. No, that doesn't happen. KingCappers.com has advanced analytics that then you ask for help from, and they will give you their picks. So for those of you that aren't big gamblers, or you don't want to get into gambling, or quite frankly, you don't even like gambling, nothing changes on Doug Franz Unplugged. All the gambling conversation happens at the end of Unplugged on Versus Vegas. But we now are offering on Unplugged a new sponsor who can help you win more if you are into gambling. So I am really excited about that. That's Jerry, who I had a beer with, and Greg, and we had a great conversation. So there might be more to come with them at KingCappers.com. So I want to give them a free plug at the beginning to let you know that that's happening. Today is Monday. That means 1580 The Fanatic. Every Monday, 1 o'clock, I am a guest co-host with my friend Steve, who runs the main event along with Izzy. So if you have not heard that show before, please tune in at 1 o'clock today to 1580 The Fanatic.
Doug's Big One.
This one is on the inside linebacker position for the Arizona Cardinals. Chandler Wooten should not be cut. Now, the reason why you might say, well, Doug, that's just one guy, You're just pulling out one guy on a roster and you're acting like that's a big opinion. Here's why I'm acting like it's a big opinion. Because I would keep him over Zaven Collins. Listen, I don't have a problem if the Arizona Cardinals decide to keep Zaven Collins and cut Andy Isabella. They're not competing for the same spot, but everybody's competing at the bottom of this roster. Fine. Maybe you only keep three safeties. Fine. I don't care where you're finding out. Is it 8 offensive linemen or 9 offensive linemen? Is it 5 running backs or 4 running backs? I don't care what you do to keep Chandler Wooten on this ball club. But if you keep Zaven Collins and cut Chandler Wooten, then it's clear one of two things are happening with the Arizona Cardinals. All of their film is broken and they're not watching the film. Or number two, they're too scared to take the backlash of cutting Zaven Collins and having to deal with fans know they failed miserably with that first round pick. But is your job to put the best 53 people on the roster, or is your job to protect egos? That's the question in front of the Arizona Cardinals. Your inside linebackers must be Isaiah Simmons, Nick Vigil as starters, Tanner Vallejo, and Chandler Wooten, also available as inside linebackers. And if you'd like to keep Zaven Collins, fine. But that's a luxury. Cut somebody else then that you're not keeping in order to keep Zaven Collins. Do not cut Chandler Wooten. What do I think is going to happen? I think they're going to cut Chandler Wooten. Zaven Collins was excellent in the last series that he played against the Titans. You show me what he did that was positive in just about any other game. He came through and blew up a screen in week 2 of the preseason. Not bad, but pretty easy. Pretty easy. He wasn't blocked. In every other series, you see so many situations where he's trying to diagnose a play and then, bam, gets hit by a pulling guard. Or a defensive lineman gets pushed into him and he can't get around the trash. He just doesn't see the play fast enough to get through that seam, make the tackle. One time he did, and then he ducked away from a block. He can't grab a block, take it on, shed it, make the tackle. While Chandler Wooten's out there making plays. Sound credits for the rest of the show. Anything Arizona Cardinals, I got off of azcardinals.com, as they have entire press conferences of Cliff Kingsbury following the game in Tennessee, plus different players. So anything Cardinals that you hear today, that's credit to azcardinals.com. And then I went to YouTube and got the FedEx Cup Championship post-game press conference in order to get the Rory McIlroy, because Rory said some things that I just found fascinating. That's in the 4-Minute Offense, and it's all coming up next on Doug Franz Unplugged.
4-Minute Offense. 4-Minute Offense.
4 minutes.
4-Minute Offense. 4-Minute Offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off on the corner of 35th and Shields on the south side of Chicago. The Diamondbacks beat the White Sox 3-2 on Sunday, finishing off a 3-game sweep. It's 2-2 in the ninth inning, thanks to Stone Garrett and Sergio Alcantara's solo home runs. Varsho and Rojas on base, Jake McCarthy at the plate.
And he finds that gap. McCarthy dunks one into right center. Varsho will score.
Ian Kennedy closes the door in the bottom of the ninth for the save. Diamondbacks return home today to take on the Philadelphia Phillies. First pitch at 6:40 with Madison Bumgarner and his 6-13 record on the mound. Another headline for the Diamondbacks, Corbin Carroll, their center field stud in the minor leagues, has been called up. He's a top 5 prospect in all of baseball, and he plays tonight against Philadelphia. The Cardinals were losers Saturday, 26-23 on the road to Tennessee. Cutdown day tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Big discussions going on. Right, Coach Kingsbury?
We do. Yeah, over the next 24, 48 hours, we'll have a bunch of discussions. There's some deep rooms. We're going to have to make some tough decisions, and we'll see how it all plays out.
The race for backup quarterback, Trace McSorley, 15-29 for 144, but no touchdowns. Again, Garantano got him into the end zone, 7-14 for 141, and a touchdown pass to Greg Dortch, which leads to another position battle. Wide receiver receiver. Wesley, who's hurt, versus Dortch versus Isabella. Greg Dortch, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I just felt like every time I had an opportunity to make a play, I did. Every time my number was called, I tried to my best abilities to make a play. Like I said before, I feel really good about what I put on tape this count.
Andy Isabella, are you nervous about cut down day tomorrow?
I'm not nervous at all. I mean, wherever I end up or if it's here, I'm going to put my best foot forward each day. I surely don't want to have happen what happened last year where I'm sitting around the whole time. So I know I played well. I put good tape out there. So I'm not nervous at all. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for the season because I know it's going to be big.
More position battles coming up in Breakdown. Phoenix Rising, new coach, same result. It was Juan Gura's first match as manager, and they lose to El Paso 3-1. His next match comes Wednesday night against the Toros. Rising are at home at 7:30. Rory McIlroy, simply amazing. The championship in Atlanta to the FedEx Cup playoff. McIlroy comes from 6 shots back on Sunday with a 4-under-66, and he wins the PGA Tour Championship with a come-from-behind victory over Scottie Scheffler.
Honestly, I wasn't really giving myself much of a chance teeing off in the fourth round. You know, thankfully I was in that last group because, you know, I was able to put some pressure on him early on, and then, you know, that coupled with him not having his best stuff today.
Rory's an outspoken critic of LIV Golf and the problems separating the two tours. Interestingly enough, he's headed to London to play in the DP World Tour against a bunch of the LIV golfers. One of the golfers not going to LIV Golf is Cameron Young. One of the stars of 2022 on the PGA Tour was rumored to be leaving, but he'll stay with the PGA. And finally, it doesn't quite rank up there with some of the craziest baseball injuries of all time, like former Diamondbacks pitcher Brian Anderson, who burned his face on an iron because he was checking to see if the iron was hot, or Marty Cordova, who had to go on the injured list with sunburn because he fell asleep tanning under a sun lamp. This is Yankees manager Aaron Boone talking about reliever Aroldis Chapman.
Aroldis is going to go on the IL today. He got an infection in his leg right now.
A baseball player with an infection? How did that happen?
From a tattoo that he recently got that is, you know, got a pretty bad infection there.
Wait, how did he get the infection?
A new tattoo and it got infected.
If you're ready to purchase a new home, call Ideal Home Loans. If you have a home equity line of credit or a credit card debt, high interest rates soon might be coming that could suffocate you. Call Ideal Home Loans. Your kids aren't getting any younger. And if you're ready to build great memories with a new pool or a room addition, call Ideal Home Loans. 602-899-7000. We might have reached the height of the housing market right now, meaning there's a chance your equity won't get any better than right now. There's basically money stashed inside the walls of your house, and Ideal Home Loans can help you get it. And after 6 months of your new mortgage with Ideal Home Loans, if interest rates drop a half a percentage point at any time, they contact you, you can have a new mortgage, and they waive all lender fees, saving you thousands. Call 602-899-7000 or go to idealhomeloans.com. I'm going to go Diamondbacks first here in the middle beautiful part of the podcast because I have a huge breakdown of all of the Arizona Cardinals position battles that are coming up. So with that big chunk coming up in just a second, let me spend just a minute on the Arizona Diamondbacks. They sweep the White Sox, improving their record to 59-67, in which the White Sox are just falling on their face. Yesterday, really nice with the Diamondbacks taking a 3-2 win in which they had a lead of 1-0, blew it, they're down 2-1. Then after blowing it, they're able to get, of all people, a Sergio Alcantara solo shot to tie it at 2, and then Jake McCarthy won it with an RBI double. It was kind of weird. Rojas got thrown out of the plate, in which I didn't like that decision by Tony Parascica to send Josh Rojas because you've got Stone Garrett coming up. And Stone Garrett, I'm not going to say he's an RBI machine, but he's got the power. I don't want to make an out in front of my designated hitter. And I'm okay with making the third out after that, because with Alcantara Alcantara is how you say it, Hummel and Perdomo, all right, that's 207, 170, 191. That's fine. Stone Garrett came in batting 400, and he was 1-for-3 on the day. So with a guy batting almost 500 with power, I don't think with two outs you send Josh Rojas. I got runners on second and third with Garrett at the plate and two outs. I want that. So a bad decision by Tony Perez Chica, but the Diamondbacks win anyway. Kennedy gets the save. Looked okay doing it. Walked a hitter, had a fielder's choice, but he still got out of the ninth inning. So now the Diamondbacks are coming home, coming off a sweep. And this is where I do wish we were a baseball city, because there's a huge event coming up tonight at Chase Field. The Diamondbacks are home against the Phillies, and Corbin Carroll is coming up. This is one of the top five prospects in all of baseball, and he's being promoted for tonight's game. And the reason why I kind of wish we were a baseball city is, imagine if this was Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park, in which, or maybe even Wrigley, where people would buy a ticket out of nowhere just to see this young man and on a whim. I don't think we're going to have a ton of people that rush out to Chase Field tonight to say, I've got to see Corbin Carroll. But this is a major piece of what's about to happen for Diamondbacks baseball. And I just wish there would be a flood of people. Like, imagine if I said, let's have 10,000 people buy a ticket tonight to see Corbin Carroll play. How many of you would laugh at me? You know, that would just be considered funny. But Yankee Stadium, oh man, here we go. I mean, there would be a buzz about the city when a top five prospect comes up. Well, anyway, Corbin Carroll, we've talked about slash line before. You want your slash line to be 300, 400, 500. First number is batting average. Second number is on base percentage. Third number is slugging. Remember, 300, 400, 500 is an elite player. Slashing Corbin Carroll, 307 batting average, 425 on base percentage, 610 slugging percentage. Remember the whole 3-4-5? He's 3-4-6. 307, 425, 610. That's what he's been doing. Now, what's weird is Mike Hazen has not wanted to bring him up, because Corbin Carroll's had such a weird existence. Had the entire 2020 minor league scene and season wiped out. I don't know why I said scene. Minor league scene? Minor league season wiped out. 2021, he played like 7 games. I forget how many. And ripped up his shoulder, hitting a home run in the minor leagues. So missed 21. So they were like, listen, you're just going to sit and play in the minors all in 2022. We'll talk to you after the season. He did so well in Double A, they're like, fine, we'll move you up to Triple A. We're not calling you up. He's raking in Triple A Reno. And then Mike Hazen says, well, you know, he's playing in two ballparks that it's kind of easy to hit in. Well, how's he doing on the road? The same? Okay. Finally, they gave up. Said, all right, we're going to bring him up. So Corbin Carroll tonight against the Phillies. And of course, I'll be watching. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. All right. Now, if you don't know the joke and the why, and why I do this, is I used to railroad anytime a producer on the old show would create a promo that says something like, and we'll break it down for you. I just thought the phrase breakdown, if you start paying attention to it, how often in sports talk radio, television, or radio does someone say, and we're going to break it all down for you? What does that really mean, to break it all down? What breakdown means is, this is too advanced for you to figure out, so we've got to dumb it down and give it to you in little bite-sized pizzas, so we'll break it down for you. I just think that is so cheeseball. You don't have the vocabulary to think of a better line than breakdown. So anytime somebody said the word breakdown, in a meeting or in studio, I would go, breakdown, 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 like that, and mock it. And then I started doing it on air when Wolf would say it, because it's just so easy, it is easy, to slip into that and say breakdown. And anytime it was said, breakdown, 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 So I kept doing that over and over. Then Yoda, being Yoda, made it into a segment. But you never say segment. So if you're wondering about the Cardinals and the decisions they have to make in the next 24, I don't know why I said they have to make in the next 24 hours. Well, I'm here for you to break it all down into bite-sized pieces.
Breakdown, breakdown, breakdown. Break it all down, breakdown, breakdown, breakdown. Breakdown, breakdown, breakdown. There are a ton of major question marks that need to be answered for the Arizona Cardinals 2022 roster. Keep in mind, your 53-man roster has to be set Tuesday at 1 o'clock. If you cut a player that's in his rookie year or all the way through his fourth accrued season, he is then put on waivers and his contract can be claimed by any team in the NFL. Starting Wednesday, waived players that have been claimed are then assigned to different teams around the league. The waiver claim priority is based on the worst to first record from 2021, or basically last April's draft order, if nobody had made any trades. If a player has had over four accrued seasons of NFL experience, he is not put on the waiver wire. He's flat out cut, becomes an unrestricted free agent, and can sign anywhere in the NFL with a new contract. Therefore, once the Arizona Cardinals make their 53-man roster set tomorrow by 1 o'clock, they can now start putting in waiver claims or signing unrestricted free agents off of other teams. Therefore, a current Cardinal could make the 53-man roster, but only for a matter of hours. In case the Arizona Cardinals sign an unrestricted free agent, they now have to cut someone else from the 53-man roster. They will also find out on Wednesday if any of their waiver claims they put forth were granted based on order of priority. If that happens, they again have to cut someone from the 53-man roster to put the new player they claimed off of waivers onto the 53-man roster. Once a player clears waivers and does not sign as an unrestricted free agent with another team, they can be put on the practice squad. This year, the practice squad can be up to 16 players. Now let's look at camp battles. Quarterback. Kyler Murray, your starter. Colt McCoy expected to be ready week one. The battle is for the number three quarterback. Coach Cliff Kingsbury has already been asked if he's going to keep three quarterbacks, and he said he prefers to. That means Trace McSorley or Jared Garantano will be on the team. McSorley has received the vast majority of snaps, meaning he is way ahead of Garantano, or they're showcasing him for a trade. I want them to keep Garantano because I think there's more of an upside. The Cardinals do not care what I think. My prediction is they keep McSorley, Garantano is cut, and then hopefully stays on the practice squad. Running backs. Probably the second toughest decision. How many running backs are you going to keep? James Conner 100% makes the team. The other spots are Eno Benjamin, Darrell Williams, Keontae Ingram, and Jonathan Ward. Eno Benjamin's had too good of a camp, meaning if you cut him, you have no chance to keep him on the practice squad. He'll get claimed by another team. So if you want him, you keep him. If it's close between Jonathan Ward and Keontae Ingram, you keep Jonathan Ward because you might have luck getting Keontae Ingram onto the practice squad. If you're worried you're going to lose Ingram, you'd rather cut Jonathan Ward. I say four running backs. Jonathan Ward is the one that's gone. Wide receiver. I have no idea. Cliff Kingsbury, Dortch, or Isabella?
Yeah, I'd say I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for both those guys and how they play the game, how they work. But I thought that they attacked this camp. I mean, they didn't take a day off. They didn't take a rep off, both of them, every day, full speed. And you see the results when they're going against other competition. And can't say enough good things about how they played this camp.
Hopkins, Green, Moore, and Marquise Brown, 100% on the team. Antoine Wesley really knows the offense, should make the team, but injuries could have him getting cut if the Cardinals aren't ready to choose between Greg Dortch and Andy Isabella. Greg, are you nervous about cut down day?
Not really. I mean, everything's out of my control right now. I feel like I gave my all this whole preseason since day one. Just left it all out there. So everything's out of my hands at this point. I feel good at what I put on tape. and everything will work out the way it's supposed to work out.
Isabella, do you think you had a solid camp?
Absolutely. I mean, I came in here with a fierce mindset. I knew I was going to dominate. I didn't let anything discourage me at all. And I came here and dominated every day and showed up and practiced every day. Unlike some of the, I mean, I practiced every day. I showed up every day and I worked. And there's a couple guys that did that. And that's what I did every day. And I knew God's plan for me was great. So yeah, I'm happy for what happened.
My prediction is it's all based on Wesley's injury. If they are fully confident Antoine Wesley will be ready for week one, then I think Greg Dortch makes the team and Andy Isabella is put on waivers. Isabella had a fantastic camp. He deserves a lot of credit. But when you have to wait 3 years, then you wonder, where have you been? If Wesley is healthy, I think it was too little too late for Andy Isabella.
Offensive lineman.
Tough conversation because we don't even know the starters for the offensive line, let alone who makes the team. DJ Humphreys, left tackle. Rodney Hudson, center, if he's healthy. We're not sure if he's healthy. Justin Pugh, left guard, but we're not sure if he's healthy. Right tackle, Kelvin Beachum, definite. Right guard, interesting. Is it Will Hernandez or is it Cody Ford? Since you traded for Cody Ford, it's clear Hump, Pugh, Hudson, Hernandez, Beachum, and Cody Ford will all make the team. Normally, you keep 8 offensive linemen, which means either Josh Jones, Sean Harlow, or Justin Murray would be cut. And that doesn't say anything about the offensive linemen you drafted in the 22 draft. Smith and Hayes are also on the bubble. Prediction? Since Smith isn't ready to take over for Sean Harlow as the backup, I look at Smith and Hayes as both going to the practice squad and clearing waivers. Harlow is kept because he's too valuable as the backup center. Josh Jones beats out Justin Murray, and Murray is the odd man out.
Tight end.
I say they keep 3 if Max Williams is totally healthy. Zach Ertz and Trey McBride are the other 2.
Defensive line.
I'm keeping just about everybody. I'll go with 8. Sorry, Christian Ringo, you're out. This would be where I'd be surprising some people because I have Manny Jones making this team. I thought he was a fantastic defensive tackle throughout and should be able to challenge Leckie Fotu for a lot of playing time. Of course, Fotu could play a little bit of nose tackle, and I like Rashard Lawrence and was really impressed with Antoine Woods at the one technique.
Outside linebacker.
Both outside and inside linebacker positions are really determined by how many wide receivers, how many running backs, and how many offensive linemen are you going to keep. I went with 4, 6, and 8 running back, wide receiver, and offensive line. Therefore, that gives me 6 spots at outside linebacker. Dennis Gardeck, Marcus Golden, guaranteed. Devon Kennard might be a shocking cut. I'm going to say he makes it along with Cam Thomas and MyJ Sanders. Victor Dimukeji could be trade bait today. I've got him making the team and Jesse Luketa being cut and quickly having the Penn State star put on the practice squad. Hopefully if he clears waivers.
Inside linebacker.
This is where the Arizona Cardinals and I will completely disagree. I've got 5 inside linebackers. They will probably go with 4. I am not cutting Chandler Wooten. I don't think the Cardinals are willing to admit it, but Wooten had a better camp than Zaven Collins. Zaven Collins had a fantastic final series against the Titans. Every other series other than the last one can be rated between average and terrible throughout the preseason games. He's just not what they thought he was. Isaiah Simmons could be a star. Nick Vigil will play a lot for Zaven Collins. And there's no way I'm cutting Tanner Vallejo. If any player you like gets cut and Zaven Collins is still on the team, you'll know why. Because the Cardinals didn't want to admit he was a bad pick.
Defensive backs.
Because of the incredible positional flexibility you have with Isaiah Simmons, I'm going to go with 7 defensive backs. Obviously, Byron Murphy, Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson, Dunn. Those 3 are in. My other 4, Antonio Hamilton, depending on health. Marco Wilson. Late-round draft pick Christian Mathieu does make the team, and I'll keep Deontay Thompson, who is clearly on the bubble at safety. If I have to put Antonio Hamilton on short-term IR, then I'll go with Josh Jackson getting the spot. Last week, Coach Kingsbury told us Antonio Hamilton was going to the doctor. Later in the week, he wouldn't tell us actually what Hamilton has going on, only telling us he'll tell us when he has to. Well, he doesn't have to until Wednesday's practice report of next week. Josh Jackson and Christian Mathieu were battling it out for the final cornerback spot. If they both make the team, that probably tells you all you need to know about Hamilton's injury, and he would be placed on short-term IR. And special teams, Matt Prater, Andy Lee, and Aaron Brewer, of course, make the team. And that is your 2022 Cardinals roster breakdown, breakdown, breakdown.
Here's a debate that I always used to get into with the bosses on the old show that I don't know if I've ever told you about. It was my opinion that take a sport that has a lower kind of, how do I put it? That's less important to the average listener. Okay. Take that sport, but have something that's really cool said about that sport, or something that really grabs me as a talk show host, that I've got a lot to say on that subject, not the topic of the game, but what was said, that there's a story there. Let's do that for half a segment, let's say. And I would get ripped. Don't. And then if I asked to do it in the middle of the show that wasn't planned out, I would get yelled at by the producer all the time. And so that's the beauty. I really want to thank you for listening to Doug Franz Unplugged, because it's something that I really feel like you stand up for. That, hey, of course, the number one subject in this city is Cardinals and Suns. Let's stick to it. Cardinals and Suns. But that doesn't mean there isn't something else out there that's kind of interesting. And I was completely drawn into the FedEx Championship playoff over the weekend, just as a golf fan of the PGA Tour. But I wasn't going to bring it up. But I do consider it my job to listen to all the press conferences in case something happens that I say, you know what? You're going to be better informed getting to work if you heard this. And I feel that totally about Rory McIlroy. I couldn't believe this answer that he gave to a question about how good he is at coming back. If you didn't watch any of the FedEx Championship, the way the FedEx Cup works is it's kind of weird. Three tournaments in one based on the money list. And it gets whittled down through the 30 best golfers at the events based on points that you accumulate through the year. And then once they start the tournament last Thursday, they actually kind of seed you in a different way to make it understandable to everybody listening. You will start the golf tournament so many strokes under par. That way, you can turn on a golf tournament and you see, oh, Scotty Scheffler's got a 4-shot lead. Okay. Well, the truth is, you start with the lead if you're the number one golfer on the money list. So you start with a head start. That way, the entire season is based on trying to catch you. So it's kind of like being, if you're the number one seed in a football game, you start with a touchdown lead. Now, I know that sounds dumb in football because, well, wait, if you're the number one seed, you just play the weakest team. But it's more like that's how they can stagger everybody. So at one point, Rory McIlroy is 6 shots back coming in on Sunday. And he wins. Another comeback for Rory McIlroy. And someone in the media asked Rory, why are you so good when you're trailing and you're coming from behind?
Because I think probably out of everyone in the field, I care the least about the money. I'm probably it.
Wow. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, the winner of that tournament yesterday wins $18 million. I don't care how much money you have. He just won $18 million. Why are you so good coming from behind?
Because I think probably out of everyone in the field, I care the least about the money. I'm probably it.
That was an amazing comment to me. I don't think he's really saying anybody else is selfish. And I do think there's a little of, you know, I've already done really well in the game of golf. But there's zero drive for the money compared to being a competitor and winning championships? First of all, let's internalize that amazing comment. Never, ever apologize if your work ethic has led your family to a lot of money. Unless you've sacrificed, this is a personal opinion, unless you've sacrificed being a dad to get there. Or if you're a woman, a mother. Parenting first, spouse second. I shouldn't say that. They go hand in hand. It's really hard to be a good dad if you're being a bad husband. Because what is part of being a great dad? It's showing your son how a husband treats his wife and women in general, or teaching your daughters that you should expect your husband to act this way towards you by the way I treat your mother. At least that's how I've tried to live my life as a dad and a husband. But if you are successful at work and you are not sacrificing your responsibilities as a husband and father, man, apologize to nobody. Ignore everybody who thinks somehow you should feel guilty for what you've accomplished. That's your business. That's not somebody else's business. I say that because I would also say, as you are accumulating wealth through your work ethic, the best way, in my opinion, to accumulate that wealth, or one of the easier ways to do it, is to help everybody else's goals and dreams come true. You know, if you are not worried, if the money is not your sole focus, I think you'll find ways to make money. Like if you're a salesperson, if you are driven like crazy to make money, I think that's the wrong way to go about sales. Because what'll end up happening? Then you'll just take people's money and not provide the best product for them. What if the best product for somebody else is a cheaper product that you're offering? I would say sell them the cheaper product, but you won't make as much money. So which is your direction? I think if you're always helping people do what's best for them or buy what's best for them in any walk of life, it'll come back to you. Because that person will say, I now trust you. And they tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else. And there you go. And that just really grabbed me that Rory said that.
Because I think probably out of everyone in the field, I care the least about the money. I'm probably it.
Don't apologize for your drive to be great, but don't be consumed by the money. Be consumed by being great, and the money becomes a result of that. But be great at multiple things. Parenting, marriage, life. I love that Rory said that. There's also a little bit of a different tune in that from a competitive standpoint. And Rory does have double meaning sometimes, but I don't think he meant it there. But the double meaning is, Phil, Koepka, now Cam Smith. If you care the most about winning and the least about the money, you're going to be better. It's the money that says, oh no, because you always want to win when you're competing in golf, but suddenly you start putting money to the $18 million level. Man, this shot's hard. This shot changes my entire life. And you feel that pressure. Or if you're Phil, who obviously is in desperate need of the money due to bad decision making, and we might have found out is 400 times greedier than we thought, guess what happens? Now it's about the money. So you've got to run to live golf. Yeah. That's Rory. So then the follow-up, Rory, what's more important? Winning the FedEx Cup playoff and getting that trophy, or the check that comes with it?
Having won, I think, I mean, there's a lot of cool things that come along with winning the FedEx Cup, the trophy. I have three sterling silver Calamity Jane replicas in my house, which is really cool. I mean, to think about here at East Lake and Bobby Jones, the greatest amateur player ever to play the game, the sort of history and the traditions of the game of golf. He sort of exemplified all of that. So, look, the money is the money. It's great, and we are professional golfers. We play golf for a living. We play, that is a part of it. But I think at this part of and this point in my career, the winning and the journey and the emotions and who I do it with mean more than the check.
Now, you've got to be a hardcore golf historian to know what he meant. Calamity Jane was the nickname Bobby Jones had given to his putter. And Bobby Jones, arguably the greatest golfer of all time. I think it's Jack number one, Tiger number two, and Bobby Jones number three. But Bobby Jones, if you win the FedEx tournament, they make a sterling silver replica of his putter, Calamity Jane. So you talk about an original type of trophy. And why this matters is because Bobby Jones played his first ever full 18-hole round of golf at the East Lake Golf Course, which is the longest continuously running golf course in the city of Atlanta. So now you see how that history all plays in and why Rory made mention to that. So to him, again, trophy over money, which is what separates the PGA Tour from LIV Golf. More lessons from Rory McIlroy. He was asked about how trying this year has been, how exciting it is to culminate a year in which he has been the kind of the PGA Tour spokesperson that is anti-LIV Golf, pro-PGA from the beginning. And he's been thrust into that position. Now, I don't have to set up this question because whenever you're named Doug, I keep your voice as the question.
I'm just going to go right here to Doug.
Two things, Rory, and to kind of stay on that theme, and I know you've been asked this a ton, but is there any way that you could talk about if it's been some kind of a burden, even though it's coming out willingly? I mean, you get asked about it a lot. You're a four-time major champion, a former world number one, and people are looking at you as the guy who's the kind of the loudest voice. Does that wear on you after a while?
No, I don't think so, because if you believe in something, I think you have to speak up. And I believe very strongly about this. I really do. I hate what it's doing to the game of golf. I hate it. Like, I really do. I mean, like, it's going to be hard for me to stomach going to Wentworth in a couple of weeks' time and seeing 18 of them there. Like, it just doesn't sit right with me. So, yeah, I feel strongly. I believe what I'm saying are the right things, and I think when you believe that what you're saying is the right things, you're happy to stick your neck out on the line.
Wow. There's a lot of people that can't say that aren't willing to stick their neck out on the line, even when they want to say the right things. Now, granted, we're arguing about millionaires versus millionaires in the game of golf. We're not talking about some very difficult things to speak your mind about, like social justice issues or great historical moments of the past and fantastic speeches and things like that. Okay, it's a little different, I realize. But I'm talking about the message, not the messenger necessarily, even though I do love what Rory has to say. And then you heard him say, go to Wentworth and see 18 of them, which doesn't sit well with me. I don't know whether it's in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but Wentworth is a golf club in London that's hosting the championship of the DP World Tour, which is basically the old European Tour. And the LIV golfers have been blocked from participating in PGA Tour events by appeals courts, by suspensions, because those are the rules of the PGA. The DP World Tour doesn't have as hard and fast rules, and therefore, because of that, judges ruled in favor of golfers who don't want to accept a suspension. So therefore, while it's being moved through the courts, the DP World Tour cannot block LIV golfers from participating. So you talk about a rivalry among rivalries. This will be the first event that has a ton of LIV golfers versus PGA golfers. And quite frankly, no one's as good as Rory on either side. The pressure that's going to be on Rory is going to be enormous, that he's going to put on himself, and that the PGA Tour will, just in hoping that he beats the LIV golfers. And the LIV golfers are in this argument because they don't compete. I mean, everybody's getting paid a ton of money, so they don't really compete with the blood under your nails, as an old friend would say, in sheer competition, because they've already gotten so much money before the beginning of the tournament just to show up. That, okay, I beat my buddies in a round of golf. Now, can you flip the switch in a real competition and succeed? And if they do it, we're going to hear about it like crazy from the LIV golfers. Boy, that's a strong statement by Rory.
It's going to be hard for me to stomach going to Wentworth in a couple of weeks' time and seeing 18 of them there. Like, that just doesn't sit right with me.
I don't apologize as a member of the media that if I'm covering that event, that I'm sitting down with LIV golfers and I'm asking them. Last, 2 weeks ago in Atlanta, Rory McIlroy said it doesn't sit well with him to be there with you. How do you feel about being here with him? You know, something like that. But he's not afraid to be open and honest. When Rory was asked about his week, and really the last 3 weeks of getting through, maybe more like 5 weeks, but getting through the Open Championship and the disappointment of playing so well and not winning, when that's so important to him, that tournament, especially where it was, being at St. Andrews, then coming over for the FedEx, not quite playing as well, huge meeting in Delaware with Tiger Woods, discussing the future of the PGA Tour, then coming out and being 6 shots back, and then turning around and winning this thing. I mean, just what was the last week? Was it almost too much?
It's been different. There's been a great thing that's happened, and that's that the 20 whatever of us that met in that room in Delaware all committed, most of us, maybe 22 out of the 23, committed to each other and committed to, guys, what can we do to make the tour the best possible product so that we can all benefit? And I think that was a huge turning point in all of this. And I think all of us getting on the same page, there's opportunity in every challenge. And that was an opportunity for us to all get together. And as you said, it is so individual. It is so individualized, but how can we all sort of work together to move the thing forward?
This man might be responsible for saving the PGA Tour. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus responsible for starting it. Tiger Woods 100% in charge of popularizing it to unprecedented heights. But maybe Rory, the man who saved it. The last question for Rory was about, hey, okay, you've won three of these. and I don't know if you can rank them 1, 2, and 3, but is this one got to be more meaningful than ever because of the last year, because of everything that you've gone through, because you're kind of the spokesperson for the PGA Tour?
Look, it's been a tumultuous time for the world of men's professional golf in particular, and I've been right in the middle of it. You know, I've picked a great time to go on the PGA Tour board, but yeah, I've been in the thick of things, and I guess every chance I get, I'm trying to defend what I feel is the best place to play elite professional golf in the world. And you know, it's in some way, you know, it's in some ways fitting that I was able to get this done today, to, you know, sort of round off a year that has been very, very challenging and different. And but yeah, they're all sort of different. You know, it's been nice. You know, back in 2019, I took down the number one player in the world in Brooks Koepka. This year, I took down the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler. You know, so I know that my best stuff is good enough to win any tournament against anybody on any golf course. So, you know, that's something I can take away from today.
How strong is that? Man, that jacks me up. I mean, at first it's like, hey, I'm on the forefront, but that's okay. And, you know, I put myself there, but I believe in this. And then reminder of Brooksy, hey, you were number one until I beat you. And then I was able to take on Scottie Scheffler. I don't know how Scottie feels about that comment. I don't know if it gets you jacked up as it does me. And again, as I said when I first started talking about this, to me, this never had anything to do with golf is why I wanted to bring it up. Just how inspirational it is to hear Rory stand up for what he believes in and be rewarded. And whatever that means to you, go for it. You know? Go for it. All right, coming up next, this is really cool to me that we have a new sponsor for Versus Vegas, kingcappers.com, on Doug Franz Unplugged.
Do you want to get in the game and need that extra edge? Go to KingCappers.com. Do you feel left out not knowing the difference between a parlay and a point spread? KingCappers.com. KingCappers doesn't take bets. We tell you which teams to bet on, giving you the advantage you need on sportsbooks. Buy one sports handicapping package and get one free for the first 200 people. Get in the game with KingCappers. That's KingCappers.com.
It's time for
Versus Vegas.
All right, pretty soon in this beautiful part of the program, we will also include a KingCappers.com free winner of the day. So Versus Vegas will have King Cappers go on the record and say, we like this game, and try to impress you so that you go to kingcappers.com and check out how they can help you with your legalized sports wagering. And for me, I might need it. I lost money this weekend. I went 4 for 4, but I had some bad juice. And I'm really frustrated because, again, I'm losing close ones. Like, here we go, the losses. I had Toronto -1.5 on the run line against the Angels because the Angels are terrible. Angels won 12-0. I'm not trying to tell you that one's close. It's like, Toronto, what are you doing? So I've already dumped the White Sox as a team I ever bet on ever again. I'm kind of in that mode with Toronto. I've lost too often lately with Toronto. I took Houston on the money line against Baltimore. The Orioles have been killing me. Orioles won 2-0 on Friday. I really went with Papa Bear Sean on a pick that I liked a lot. He took Nebraska Northwestern under 50.5. and it was 31-28 because of a ridiculous Scott Frost onside kick. That was a kick in the face. And I found one that I loved, UConn at Utah State, over 59.5, because I thought Utah State would just crush them. Utah State did win by 11, 31-20, but they didn't get enough to get over the 59.5. So those are my four losses. My four wins, I took the Diamondbacks on Friday, plus a run and a half over the White Sox. I would have had positive money if I would have taken that game on the money line. But I wanted the runs on the run line. I took the Cincinnati Reds at Washington over 8.5. And the Reds won 7-3, so I got that one. I had a really good pick with Yankees at Oakland in a pitching matchup to go under 6.5. Think how that low that is, 6.5. I took the under and I got it. Yankees won 3-2. And then I took the Bengals to cover over the Rams, minus 2.5, and I got that. Bengals won 16-7. So my 4-4 record puts me at 468-403 since the beginning. But a lot of that is a ton of hockey and NBA wins and a few college basketball wins. Still struggling over the summer. Here we go today. I got six games I really like in Major League Baseball. I'll take the Cardinals, minus 1.5 on the run line against the Reds on the road. I got Boston and Minnesota over the total of 8.5. I also have Minnesota winning the game over the Red Sox on the money line. I like Yankees and Angels to go over 7.5 in an easy pitching matchup there. I love that Yankees game, by the way, over 7.5 with the Angels. I'm going to take the Phillies on the money line against the Diamondbacks. I hate rooting against my Diamondbacks, but Madison Bumgarner's going, and you're just not going to get me to believe in him. And major pitching matchup with Rodon and Musgrove in San Francisco. So I like the under there, under 7.5. If it was under 6.5, I wouldn't have done it. But I get Padres Giants under 7.5. I'll run with that. So those are my six games, two overs. Red Sox Twins 8.5, Yankees Angels 7.5, one under, Padres Giants 7.5. And then one team, I'm taking the favorite on the money line, Cardinals over the Reds, 1.5. And then two money line bets. I think I said money line on Cardinals. I didn't mean to. Run line, Cardinals, Reds. And then money line, Twins over Red Sox and Phillies over Diamondbacks. That's your Versus Vegas presented by KingCapers.com. They are not a sports book. They are not your bookie. But they help you win at your sports book. As a handicapping service, go to kingcapers.com and either choose a sport you're terrible at so they can help you, choose a sport you're great at to add to what you already know, or choose a package of all of it and start letting them help you make your picks, especially as you go into the beginning of college football and the NFL. That does it for today's version of Doug Franz Unplugged. Going to be a little bit late that I get to put it up, because it's already 5:47 this morning, so sorry about that I was running a little late. Jeff Van Raphorst and Chris Ball, head coach of NAU this week, to look hardcore at ASU. And maybe even we get some, let's try to find some major Cardinals insider to talk about possibly doing another Cardinals podcast. How about that? The 48 State Football Podcast. More information coming on that tomorrow. I'll see you then. Thanks for listening to Doug Franz Unplugged. Have a great Monday.